Glory.
God bless. Does he know your name?
Credit.
Is your name written in the Lamb's book?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But the way we're come on, y'all come sing. Will you preach? How do y'all want to do it? How do y'all want to do it? Come on. Sing and then preach. So preach and then sing.
Praise the Lord.
We're just going to sing a little chorus to you. We really need some help this morning.
All right. Come on.
Let's.
And if you never heard this chorus, it's okay if you don't sing. But if you've heard it, then you got to sing it. And it's a little child song. A little child song. I like it. Amen. This little light of mine.
All right.
Hallelujah.
That's the Lord.
One of the ladies said, I was looking around, And I said, "You are in trouble this morning." She said, What do you mean? I said, "You don't have a clock." And when you get to going, if I ever get to going, we lose track of time.
Yeah. Right.
You don't lose track of time, but we do. We can feel so good, and that the end of the service feels so bad. I have preached, and I go home, and it would take me to the middle of the afternoon to recuperate. And I enjoy it. I enjoy trying to get receive the anointing.
Praise God.
When I'm rambling on. A few years ago, I was asked to preach at a church, and I didn't have a coat on. And they did different with the. I had on a Meat Street white shirt, and I preached, and I got damp. And I went back and sat down on the pew. And after the end of the service, I think that Linda said, "What in the world is on your shirt?" The pew had come off of my shirt.
Oh, varnish or something. Yeah,
big old brown streak got on my shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And once it was in there, it wouldn't come out.
Huh.
So we don't have stained pews this morning.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Enough of that. I just think I'm Bobby Glover. But we are.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that the pastor having enough confidence in us to ask us to preach when he's gone. And I owe you this morning. I'm not as emotional.
Bless my
heart. As Urban is, not as young either, but I owe you to pour out to you my heart this morning.
Yes. Glory
and,
God.
I owe it to you, and if at the end of this service, if I have been a blessing and called you to want to move up, then I am a failure.
Help us.
Amen. Come on, let's read the Word of God and get into it.
Right,
turn with me to Job chapter 14, where you need one verse of Scripture. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointment time, I will wait till my change comes. Let's turn over to 3 John. And go down to, let's see here, 3 John, go down to verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that you should love one another, not as Cain, who that wicked one slew his brother, wherefore he slew him because of his own words were evil, and his brother righteous. Marvel not, brethren, if the world hate you. You know that when you pass from death unto life, because you love the brethren. He that loveth not his brethren abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and yet knoweth not the number of murders which eternal life by him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. One more place. Turn over to 1 John 4. Let's read 9. This is manifestation, the love of God toward us, because that God has sent only His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Let's pray. Brother David, let's pray.
Precious Father, Lord, let
us pray. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Keep us today. Encourage every heart. Lord, help us this day. Lord, I do pray for Brother William Earl. Lord, I look to you for us and hear us. Lord, I pray for each one. Lord, help us, Lord, to have the anointed preaching and anointed hearing. Lord, I pray. Help us, Lord, to receive the maximum good. Lord, wonderful Savior. Lord, even the best brain, if we can't just receive it and digest it, Lord, we'll do it but little good. Help us, Lord, that we can eat, Lord, we can partake, and we can receive that word, Lord, that we can grow thereby. Bless, Lord. Glory to God. Amen.
Each one of us, have in ourselves life. Life is a precious commodity.
Amen.
I wasn't there. I was in the hospital. I was not there in the living room when this was back before they would allow the fathers to go into the living room, the delivery room. I was not in there. I've never seen a child take its first breath. I've never had that occasion. Some have here, have watched. I don't know if Linda remembers our children and the first breath they breathe. I don't know, we never discussed it. I do know the birth of the second one was very difficult. When they came out and told me and Meemaw the size of Johnny, my mother-in-law kind of went to pieces. And because Johnny was so big, and she would worry about Linda's health and how she made it through that delivery. But each one of us, Job said that man is born a woman a few days and full of trouble. But each one of us, when we were born, were issued a certain amount of days to live.
Hallelujah.
And in those days, we have the quality of living. Each time we breathe, we are blessed.
Right.
Amen. Whether you believe it or not, you are blessed because you're breathing in and out. You're not purple. You're not. Come on now. You got breath in your body.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that everything that has breath,
thank you, Lord,
praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And I know that life is precious.
Yes.
I've watched and I'm amazed at little children, how they enjoy such a life. Come on, now. Well, now, if you want to really, I'm just getting started here. We are blessed. We are blessed. We have grandchildren and great grandchildren. We played with our grandchildren. We played with our great grandchildren. And I'm amazed at how our great grandchildren, our little boys, one named William Earl and Jarvis, and then Ezariah, how they enjoy living. Come on now. Weekend we were up there and they were in the living room there at Johnny's, and they were just having themselves a great time.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at it, and I giggled, I laughed. If you'd see the video, you would laugh too. I'm getting somewhere.
All right.
They had a chair kind of set up here.
they had a swivel chair when they started playing, and they put these little boys, one of them at a time, in the swivel chair, and they turn it around and around and around. Y'all got it?
Yeah.
And that child would try to walk after the chair stopped. It was a funny sight to behold. And they had enough. They had just had enough of it. Little Ezra, he walked around the room and he pointed at the adult and said, "It's your turn." He goes to, they call Granny, he goes to Granny and said, "It's your turn." And Granny says, "No, it's not."
All right. Amen.
And
the Lord.
They went home. They ended.
Glory to God.
And they went home. The house got quiet. It was all over with, far as we were concerned. But those children still lived on. I'm trying to talk to you this morning about
Praise
the cost, maybe the hidden cost of life itself.
Yes.
And I'm come on, help me a little bit.
That's my brother. Amen.
We have a most of our bills on bank draft. We've got it set up so that our light bill, our water bill, and all our bills come out on a certain day of the month. And we come on now.
Right.
And we live off of the remaining there.
Right.
Come on now.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the light bill or the water bill, but there is a hidden cost.
Right.
To life itself.
Bless God. Bless
God. I've been having this on my mind for several weeks.
Bless
you and I don't realize it, but in our life, there's a hidden cost that we overlook each day.
Right.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
In order to abstain life, you must have food. Come on now.
Right. Yes.
Got it.
Amen.
I went this morning down to the store, and I got me a bacon, not a bacon, but I got me a biscuit, bread, and egg with sausage on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we went back to the house, or we did that. We lunch already at the house, and she poured a cup of coffee. And I could smell that sausage as the aroma come out of that bag.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Come on now.
Bless.
And last night we had bacon. Linda calls it a London's breakfast supper. You ever do that?
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
And so I had a little job to do, so I came in and London's already cooking, and the smell of that bacon filled the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And we had French toast and coffee and bacon, but that it cost something.
Right. Sure. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've never, come on now.
Bless
I walked down. I walked down Pigeon Weekly. Back, if you know where your Pigeon Weekly is, where we shop, Joe does. And you walk down the back wall of the Pigeon Weekly, and you start on one end, and you have your delicacies or whatever, and then you back the middle way, you have my kind of food, bologna.
Mm-hmm.
And you go down after you get to the bologna in the meat counter right at the end of that, you know, that, what do you call it, place? They have picnic hams.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Come on out.
Yeah.
Left.
And you look at them picnic hams, and you pick that picnic ham up, and we bought some, and over along that aisle, they have country cured ham.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I bought the other day. I walked over. And I got me a piece of souse.
Mm.
Oh my.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was spicy.
Mm.
But it was good. And I ate part of it. And go down. I've got you go down past the hams, you come to the pork chops. You pass the pork chop. You come to the ribeyes, reduced, and then you come to the chucks, the ground beef, and at the end of the counter, at the very end of the counter, you've got chicken and turkey and chicken gizzards and turkey wings and all that meat. And I don't know, but you picked it up, and Linda says, I want you to get me some chicken breast, skinless chicken breast, and I picked it up, and I looked at it, and in a few moments, I said, well, she needs more, so I get two packs of chicken breast, and they're high.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. They're high. Woo. Turkey wings makes good pastry.
Mm-hmm.
And I gather up our groceries. I gather up our groceries. And we put them in a cart, and I walk up to the cash register, and they start scanning that stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I pull out the old card, and I stick the old card in there, and I use the same numbers over and over.
Right. Yeah.
And they say, you need any help? You need any help carrying it out? I said, we can get it. We get it. We take our groceries and we go home and we prepare our meals. But let's get to the meat of it. And this is so I can sustain my ego. This is so I can keep going on and keep moving. Come on now, help us, Lord.
Right, bless Lord.
And that bless hidden him. Cost. I do not see it. Come on now.
Uh-huh.
What is that hidden cost? You never ate a meal where something didn't die.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now.
Right.
We forget this. Don't we? We forget this when we break open a hot dog roll and put in a wing, and then we put in some mustard in. And we put in some other stuff on it. Maybe you slow on it. But one time, that weenie was a living being.
Right.
He had breath within his body. Come on now.
Right.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about that? I've been thinking about that. How precious life is. That every day I live, every day I enjoy a meal, something must die. Come on, man.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Come on, guys. Wow. And we forget about the hidden cost of everyday life.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Amen.
It's such a pretty little thing. Come on now. Yeah, yeah. Where it's spotted, red, or white, or black. I just love to look at them run and love to look at them play. Come on now. Yeah, but one day, sometime down in the future, that little pig, he'll, if he's fed right, he'll gain a pound a day. And come on now, I don't know how much a pig weighs when he's born, but I do know if that pig, that little cute pig, gains a pound a day, and a top hog weighs around 220 pounds, that lifespan of that pig until its death is about 220 days, less than a year. And so, come on now, and one day that pig will go to the slaughterhouse, and they'll take everything of that pig, and they'll dispute it. They'll make hamburger, not hamburger, but they'll make pork chop and sausage and all that, and they'll make fat back. Come on now, and they'll make streak of lean and streak of fat. But in that thing, that same thing, that pig died.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
He died. The cost is hidden to our eyes.
Oh, God.
It is.
Yeah.
Right.
Do we?
No.
I don't. But I begin to think about how precious life is and what it costs me to live each day.
Right, brother.
Yeah.
London, I know. London is a wonderful country. You can tell it, before they did that procedure, I was over 200. We got married, I was 142. So you know she can cook.
Yeah.
Right.
And, one of her favorite meals is chicken wings. How many of y'all like chicken wings? You take that chicken wing and you tear it apart, and that big drumstick little thing, boy, that's scrumptious. And that next part, and chicken is good. It is.
Right.
We used to have, when we were growing up, we would have chicken, fried chicken on Sundays.
Right.
And we want, you know, just to look back, and we'd go out in that yard and we'd look. Now look at that. During the week, that chicken would lay an egg. We'd go to the hen house, and we'd gather them eggs up, and Mama would scramble them or fry them.
Right.
And that chicken provided us for eggs during the week.
Right.
Got it? How much like what I'm
doing? Right.
And on Sunday, that chicken would do the utmost sacrifice. And we would sit around the table, and we had forgot about that chicken running around during the week, and we'd go out and feed that chicken, and we'd give that chicken that food or whatever. It never entered our mind that Sunday you're going to die. Sunday, about 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, one of us, or daddy or mama or whatever, they'd go out. And London and what they used to do, they would go out, they'd wring that chicken's neck. You ever done that? And And they would bring that chicken's neck and they'd throw it on the ground and they would draw a circle around that chicken and watch that chicken die. Hmm. Take that chicken up and carry it in the house. Me and Mom would clean it, take all the feathers off and fry it. I've eaten some of her fried chicken. Ooh, it's good. But in order for me to enjoy that fried chicken, that chicken had to die. Cost. A hidden cost. A great cost. I'm not a vegetarian. If I live 10 more years, I'm going to still eat some meat.
Amen.
But for 79 years, every time I sat down at the meal, not every time, but most of the time, even in our soup, we had soup. When was Friday night? Yeah, Friday night, we got to some soup out in the freezer and took it and put it on the stove and warmed that soup up and made me a grilled cheese sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I sat down and I enjoyed that soup. There was butter beans in it, corn in it. There was tomatoes in it. There was chicken in it. Mm-hmm. There was beef in it. See what I'm talking about?
Right.
I didn't eat that meal because something lived. I ate that meal because some time ago a cow gave up his life that I could go to the grocery store and buy that hamburger. Real unbeaten hamburger. Mm-hmm. And I could go a little bit farther down and pick up some boneless chicken and put in that soup. Like I said, 79 years. Three meals a day, unless I was fasting. In the morning, maybe a hog died. Maybe I had some other kind of meat in lunch. Maybe at supper I had some other kind of meat. Whether it was a bologna sandwich or spam sandwich or whatever. For 79 years I've ate, I'm repeating, because something died. Serious problem. Very serious problem. And they didn't. How many have ever been through a hog killing?
Yeah.
And the first sight is, brother, stinks.
Mm.
Try it. Stinks. I've been to them. I remember, I'll tell you about one. I think I was just about ready to get out of high school. And my uncle across the branch had hogs. And William Earl was always the one that would help out. So I go over to my uncle's house and he's going to kill a hog. And most of the time they take a .22 and shoot him right there, brother. Right there. And sometimes that .22 doesn't penetrate that skull.
Right.
Am I right?
Mm.
So my uncle knew that. My uncle was a healthy man. And he caught this hog. And William Earl, you hold his hind feet.
I reach down and I get that tall pine seat and I hold it. And my uncle, like I said, was a healthy man. And he had this big hammer in his hand. He walked up in front of that hog while I was holding him and gave it a swift hit. And that hog collapsed. And you know the next thing happened, don't you? He turned him over. And he took that long knife and run up in that throat. And the blood came out. And that hog, it was a pitiful sight. That hog was struggling to live. Got it? Every time you eat a meal, that animal not only dies, but is struggling to live. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. They do not give their life willingly. Their right. life is taken from them by force.
Right.
Come on now. Yeah. I've watched them. Have you ever run over an animal in the road and you watch that animal as it struggles to live on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a hard, pitiful sight. As you watch an animal, as it struggles to get off of the highway, or it struggles to live just a little bit longer, and you know there's something in I don't know about you, but in me that I, it just you know I, come on now,
right.
It bothers me. I can't just look at it and laugh. There's something in me. Mm-hmm. That dreads that.
Man. Bless. Glory to God. Amen.
Let me read it to you. Can you imagine how important, I'll read it in a minute maybe, how important it is for us to obtain life, to go from day to day with such a great cost? Now, I made you aware of that. How important it is and what it costs. It is for us to live each day. The cost today will increase tomorrow. Come on now. The price of food will go up. Come on now.
Right.
We sometimes try to find something at a reduced price. Sometimes it works, and sometimes
mm-hmm.
it don't.
Mm-hmm.
That price fluctuates.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. They have chicken on sale, and you go buy a crate of maybe three or four, whatever your family needs, and you put it in the freezer. You have sidewalk sales on hams, or you have, you know what I'm talking about, truckload sales of meat.
Uh-huh.
And you go and get those meats, and you feel like you've got a bargain.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll abstain you. It'll keep you until that substance runs out. And like I say, the price may fluctuate on our everyday living.
Right.
But the price on our eternal soul never fluctuates.
Right. Amen.
It never changes. Come on now. Come on, give me just a few
bless
minutes.
Lord,
and Paul said, "Oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me?" Come on, that's
right.
And I find myself not being able to pay the price of eternity, not being able. Come on now, and realizing, as Job said, is there life
bless
after
Lord.
Death?
Glory
shall
God.
A man live again? Come on now, and I realize the price that Christ had to pay for my life, that I could live. In one place in the Bible says, "Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory?"
Yes.
The Bible tells us also in Revelation, the last enemy to be
this. I was studying and thinking this morning, and I read it in Mark this past week, how Jesus had to, and also in John, how Jesus he washed their feet, he supped with them. He takes Peter, James, and John, goes out to Gethsemane, and the rest of the disciples says here. And then he takes those, he goes about a little ways farther into the garden and tells Peter, James, and John to wait here and pray. And,
right.
I heard about, they go to sleep, that's for much. But if you could only hear the words and let them ring in our heart what Christ said as he went. And a little farther, he didn't go so far that Peter, James, and John did not hear him. But he fell on the ground and he prayed, "Come on now, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me."
Right.
Nevertheless, thy will be done.
Amen.
And I was thinking about it. Christ did not want to die. That was, come on now, he had no desire to go through Gethsemane. He had no desire to be pierced. He had no desire to be mocked. And on we go. But he paid that price.
Yes,
that
yes.
price that Lord. Will never change for your soul and my soul. Come on.
Amen.
And I think about it. And I think about life itself. And eternity.
That's my brother. Amen.
Bill Houston was praying. And I heard about it. He was praying. He had to meet me. You won't never meet him on this side. And Bill Houston was praying, and he questioned God, how long is eternity? And he said, maybe if a bird takes one grain of sand off the earth and moves it to the moon, when it gets the last grain of sand moved, that's a kind of eternity. God said, that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
You can't write it. Can you imagine living for eternity? Come on now.
Right.
We're going to come pray then. I want to know you. Brother Glenn said he's ready.
Yeah.
For that city. John said, I beheld that city coming down as a bride coming down. And
Amen.
There's one thing. I know it's a lot of theology about heaven and going there and not going there and on I go. Am I right?
Yeah.
And in the book of Ezekiel, I did a day look at the book of Ezekiel, and the instructor in the book of Ezekiel said, get out of your head that you're going to heaven.
Well,
if you want to go, that's okay with him. Oh, good.
Yes,
John.
Yeah.
Oh, you?
Yes.
Whether that city comes down or I go up, it makes no eye over at all.
Right. Amen.
I want to go. With all my heart and soul, I want to see that celestial city.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
I have a desire to see it.
Amen. Good. Hallelujah.
I can't pay the cost.
Hallelujah.
I can't. On an institute wall is the love of God straight up on our steel, the man of Queen of the Tay. If the sky was a quill and every man is scribe a trade, it would drain the ocean dry to write the love of God. And
Amen. Yes.
We know that. We understand that. But our salvation, our eternal life, is far more cost than we can imagine. It's farther than I can comprehend how a righteous a God that never sinned, a God that had never had a bad thought, a God that never had an evil intent, would give such a life for a wretched person like me.
Right.
I cannot comprehend it. If I live to be a million years old,
amen,
I still will not comprehend.
Exactly
right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I got one more thought.
Glory.
We're going to come pray. It's kind of comical, not comical. In the scripture I read to you, let me read it. It said, hereby we know that we dwell in Him. He in us, because He has given His life for us.
Right.
And then it said that, let me put some glasses on.
Yes.
I worked with a woman, and I would quote one of these scriptures to us. And I would every day, I'd go in and say, are you saved? And she'd look at me and she says, yeah, I'm saved. And I'd quote to her, we know that we pass from death unto life if we love the brethren. And I'd go back the next week and she was an operator and I had to work on her machines. And she was a church call, and every week I would go and I said, did you know you're saved? Yeah, I know I'm saved. I said, how do you know it? And I quoted that scripture, you know that you pass from death unto life because you love the brother.
Yeah.
And I think I finally got it across to her that she could know. I know this morning that
yes,
I'm reminded of the cost of everyday life.
Yes.
More than that, I'm reminded of the cost of eternal life.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Yeah.
The truth.
Mm-hmm.
Romans just said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice holy.
Yeah.
Except which is your reasonable service.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
If he gave everything, then surely I can give him my life. Let's come pray.